Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah! Welcome to Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show, kids. It's Tuesday nights. We're live in Wilmington, North Carolina. Dan.
Are you sure about that?
Dan, are you alive?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
Look, I'm dead just checking inside, for pulse, brother.
Well.
Yep. Nope. Definitely dead. Definitely dead. We get a big show tonight. We're excited. Look, we're going to do almost all of our sports shows live on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're making
this week especially because people keep asking us about odds,
yes,
what it means, mm-hmm. and we figure we will do it now where you have the opportunity to ask follow-up questions at the end of the show.
Correct.
So,
and anybody out there who's listening, join Drinkin' Bros Sports. It is a private group on Facebook. And in there, since we're doing these shows live on Tuesdays, we will answer all your questions at the end. We'll give you a nice little shout-out. Right now, we're prepping for fantasy football.
Yeah.
I want to clarify something to the audience. Four leagues, August 2nd, high noon, which is a Friday. D'Anthony and I will be setting up all four fantasy football leagues inside Drinking Bros Sports. And you must be a member and then sign up there at noon. Boom. We'll shoot out an email. First come, first serve. If you don't answer the email, boom, yep. We go to the next person, blah, 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 blah.
And remember to read the rules. If you don't have your screenshots ready for the top two leagues where you have to prove you're a champion or a double champ, then you're not going to get that position. So
correct.
Have your shit ready.
But there's nothing wrong with the underdogs leagues.
No, there's two other leagues.
Those get aggressive, man.
They do.
Those get real aggressive. And I'm amped about the prizes this year. I've already chastised my wife on the plane, and I said, if you fucking lose the steaming Willie Beeman jersey, it's over.
She's in my league, right?
Yes.
If I win it, I'm going to burn it in front of you.
there's no way you're going to win it, but
I will win it, and then I'm going to burn it in front of you.
It is it is signed by Mr. Jamie Foxx himself, and that's a big one.
Now, was he which character was he in when he signed that jersey? Do you think?
Which character was Jamie Foxx in?
Yeah. You think it was Willie Beeman? Yeah.
He was probably in the character of Ray.
Ray Charles. Afterwards. So is it like a huge smear across the jersey? Or is
maybe.
It,
maybe it is.
Because I don't know if you knew this about Ray Charles, but blind.
Really?
Yeah, big time. And heroin, too. So that combination, blind and heroin, holy shit. Can you imagine what his autograph looks like?
Well, look, man. He did it. He did it all the way around. I like that movie, except for with the brother dying. I'm kidding. That's one of Jesse's lines. I'll actually give her credit for it. But yeah, I'm a big fan of that movie, Ray. I just didn't like when the brother died. That really fucked me up.
She said, I'm sure he could have done without his brother dying as well. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like him. I don't know.
Look, we're going to answer some betting questions at the end of this shit tonight. Our first sponsor is MyBookie.com. I want to clear up something that was also in the group. And a lot of people asked. They were like, hey, man, we didn't think MyBookie was coming back. We didn't either, man. To be honest with you, we fucking housed them last year.
Yeah, it wasn't because we were unhappy with them. It's because we figured, like, they showed us the numbers of how crazy Drinking Bros, how well they did.
Yes.
And we're just like, there's no fucking way they're coming back.
73.4% of bets we won last year. And I honestly, and I mean, this is full disclosure, I thought there's no fucking way they're bringing us back. I literally was just like, hey, man, it's cool. And I was prepared to, you know, we had chatted with DraftKings and some other companies, but I'm amped about it because I love betting on sports.
Yeah, same.
I love fantasy football and all the fantasy sports across the board, but we have those leagues. I like to bet on sports aggressively, and we do it a lot because we're degenerates.
We are degenerate. Well, yes. Yeah. I was going to try to rebut that, but no, you're right. We're actually degenerates in a number of different ways, but let's just keep it to the gambling for today.
We will. So MyBookie.com will be our sponsor for the official year. There will be a URL for them specifically for Drinking Bros listeners. MyBookie.com/Drinking Bros. They're building us a new one for this upcoming sports year. Mm-hmm. Right now is kind of a dead season as far as gambling goes.
For like the next 2 weeks or so.
Yeah. Right around August 1st when all the odds come out for college football. And then also the first preseason game is August 1st for NFL. Which is shocking.
It's coming soon.
It's the Falcons, brother.
Falconies.
The Falconies. And I forget who they're playing, but all the Super Bowl odds will be out by then. Training camp, all that other shit. First week of Hard Knocks.
Yep.
Oakland, the Raiders have Hard Knocks this year.
It's going to be wild.
It's going to be wild, and I've got some fucking crazy predictions this year.
This is going to be our first peek behind the curtain of a Gruden-run team since, what, 2004 or some shit?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see, because you know how culture changes and shit? And I feel like now players have more power in professional sports than they ever have. And we'll get into that more with the NBA.
Yeah.
But they have more power than they ever have in professional sports history right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to sit with Gruden because he's not that kind of guy, really.
No. And look, it's happening in all the leagues around it. And it's weird to see, man. But, you know, look, I would say from a... just a fan standpoint, the fuckery that's been going on in the NBA right now has been amazing to watch. And the players have all the fucking power. And each day something gets leaked that you're like, what?
Yeah, like KD, for example.
Yeah.
Demanded that the Warriors send not just him. I'm sorry, that the Warriors, that they send not just him, but a first round pick in addition to get D'Angelo Russell.
Correct. Like, and he's trying to build his own team like he's a fucking GM.
Well, this isn't the first GM player we've seen, right?
No, shit. LeBron's been coaching, managing, for 15 years. But, you know, it's strange. But we'll get to all that. We'll start with this D'Angelo Russell rumor since we're there. Right now,
you're talking about the one that the Warriors are just trying to flip him because
correct.
The GM came out today and said that's not what they're trying to do. That he has to say that.
He has to say that.
Obviously,
yeah.
I don't believe him for a fucking second. Like if people are leaking it, that's because someone had a serious conversation about it.
Oh yeah,
that's how it works.
And look, every GM around the league has said this privately. Well, that's now public now. That he doesn't fit their system, isn't a great fit for that team. There's no way they can see him stay. The weird thing about D'Angelo Russell for me is this. He's a great player. And he's young.
Yep.
He's really fucking young.
They should be able to get a return.
To be a journeyman already at this stage in your career.
Well, I mean, part of it is personality, right? Because
He had the one massive fuck up with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Where he videotaped inside the locker room. And then, I mean, it literally shut down someone. It canceled somebody's marriage.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean. Iggy Azalea,
yeah.
So, I mean, really, Swaggy P's behavior shut down that marriage. But D. Russell broke the man code.
It did, yeah. He broke the man code. You leave that shit alone.
Yeah.
Definitely. But the fact that KD is asking for first round picks and all this other shit, and then boom, you turn right around going back to Oklahoma City. Russell Westbrook, they trade half of his fucking team, and he's like, look, man, get me the fuck out of here. There was a rumor that it was going to be Miami.
Yeah.
And that the deal was almost done. According to ESPN, the deal's almost done. Nope, not done. And he gets shipped out to Houston for Chris Paul. And they get two more first-round picks.
Yeah.
And if you, mind-altering.
And they're going to get more, because if you think Chris Paul's going to be on that roster opening day, you're out of your fucking mind.
He's not a
he
prayer.
Is not staying in Oklahoma City. There's no chance.
No.
They're going to trade him and probably get two first-rounders within the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude? From now until, like, 2026, basically. So the next 6.5 years.
Here's the crazy thing about it is the destination that is rumored that where he's going is Miami.
Miami, yeah.
Miami has... Or the Thunder have two of their picks.
Already, yeah.
So Miami's just saying, hey, man, give us our fucking picks back,
yeah,
and we'll make this happen. Allegedly, they're at one right now. They're at one pick. And then they said, hey, give us the other pick back, and we're good. How many fucking picks do you have if you're trading with another team just to get your own goddamn picks back?
Yeah, I don't know if... I mean, the Warriors built their original team on picks... And then on Iguodala,
yes.
Right? So they had Steph, Clay, and Draymond were all draft picks. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that much anymore.
Well, Oklahoma City had it too, where it was Durant.
Harden and fucking Westbrook, yeah.
And Steven Adams. And Steven Adams, all these guys were drafted. It's smart.
And Serge Ibaka, shit, they had a fucking squad over there.
Boy, it's smart if you're a great GM. I was blown away by that, because I don't know how that makes your team better in Houston. I mean, I guess he's younger, but you're going to be fighting for
he doesn't
ball.
Play defense.
No.
Now you have two guys in the backcourt that don't play defense instead of just one.
And you don't like to... Well, I mean, Westbrook.
He's not going to play any defense.
No, he's not going to play any defense.
But CP3 plays decent defense.
Yeah.
I mean, now that he's older, it's a little slower, but Westbrook and Harden do not play defense.
No.
And that's what concerned me with Russell and Steph Curry in the backcourt, because
who
plays defense against guards?
I know.
Shit.
So, look, you got those two guys there. I will say this. Heart level, gamer level, balls level, brethren, you fucking brethren.
You call
those two guys?
Your dick, balls, and taint your brethren, right?
I do. Okay. I call my dick, balls, taint, and part of my asshole.
Which part?
The bottom. Mm. Just right by the lower tip, the southernmost tip of
Southern.
It.
Wow.
My brethren. I call my whole package my brethren. And, you know, you got a lot of fucking hubris on that team now between the two of them. They're both fucking gamers, and they're going to be jacking up shots from all over. It'll be fun to watch. It worked in Oklahoma City. But what about at this point in your career, this late in your career?
I don't know, and I don't remember how they played together when they were in Oklahoma City. I mean, Harden was a fifth man then.
Yeah.
So, from what I remember... It was almost like a Curry and Thompson situation where Westbrook played the entire first quarter and then came out at the beginning of the second, and then KD came back in. He like left around 8 minutes in the first and then came back into the first, kind of like Clay and Steph did for all those years.
Yep.
And if that was the case, then Harden probably spent most of his time playing with KD and not with Westbrook. So they probably don't have a ton of minutes together. Their games don't complement each other. They're both ball-dominant guys.
At all.
And I don't remember... Like, do you think... I know... it doesn't translate through time like this, but do you think the Bulls ever would have considered trading Scottie Pippen for another ball dominant fucking guard or even small forward to stretch three?
No.
Like, there's no way, right?
No.
Because they knew that Jordan was that guy.
Yeah.
So is there, I can't think of any really good examples other than the Warriors recently where two ball dominant people play in the court at the same time and both have good success.
Like, I can't remember it. And, you know, it's going to be fun to watch this year because there's a lot of parity now in the NBA. And there's a lot of these...
Now there is, yeah.
Yeah, now there is. And there's a lot of these two superstar teams. And I don't know about three superstar teams.
I mean, if you consider Draymond Green a superstar,
I don't.
I think he's the best role player in the NBA, but he's not a superstar, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to take a game over and start scoring points.
No. And look, we're still not done yet. Because Chris Paul is going somewhere. We don't know where it is. To me, look,
I don't think anybody's got any of the major teams with two superstars already has cap space to take on his contract.
They're talking about taking away some of this contract. This is what the Thunder are saying. Hey, man, you give us some picks, and we'll take care of $40 million or something.
Yeah, but that doesn't affect the cap, though.
Right. So is there a world where the Lakers could clear enough cap with some type of salary? Because that, to me, that's
maybe
that's the best fit
but
for them, to be honest with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but they would have to give up more than picks. They would have to give up somebody like Kuzma.
Well, they have nobody pick-wise.
No, not for the next 90 years or so.
I don't think, if I'm the Lakers, I don't give up Kuzma.
I wouldn't change that team right now at all.
CP3 is older, but
yeah.
I think if he was the point guard of the Lakers, they could definitely get over the hump and probably win
if
the
he can stay healthy.
If he can stay healthy,
because
yeah.
he hasn't the last several years,
right.
And now he's going to be, I think, 35 going into this year. What are the chances he's going to be healthy all year? Probably super low.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you still have Rondo on the team, so he can eat up a lot of minutes. LeBron's going to sit a lot. He'll probably play 55 games this year, my guess. 55, maybe 60.
If they're smart, yeah.
Yeah, maybe 60. So there's a lot of minutes over there to be chewed up. I don't know how they piece it together at this point, but who knows, man. I mean, free agency has been wild as fuck this year, and it's not over yet.
No, and this is the craziest year we've ever had, and it's only going to get crazier now that the players have this much say in where they want to go and what
the
they want to do.
The only time I can remember it being this big of a circus was the decision year with LeBron, but it was just him.
It was just him.
Like, he made a spectacle out of it. It wasn't that so many different people were changing spots. So many fucking superstars have changed teams this year.
But, like, Bosch came in the next day, and it was kind of over after that. But this just isn't ending. And it's great for the NBA because they're dominating the headlines. And
that is absolutely true. I mean, it's definitely
everything
got the fans
else has
excited.
Been non-existent at this point, including the NFL, which is really fucking hard to do because players are reporting for camp left and right now.
Yeah,
or not reporting.
Then of course there's golf.
Yeah,
Brooks Koepka. Do you see him today?
Koepka
practice.
Koepka.
Brooks Koepka said today that he doesn't practice for non-majors. He just shows up and plays. Did you see this shit?
No,
it happened
great.
While you were on a plane.
I was
today.
On a plane. Yeah,
yeah. I'm just waiting for the Brooks Koepka, Allen Iverson memes.
I like him, dude.
Wait.
He's
a shit talker, man. That's what look.
Golf needs it.
Tiger Woods never openly talks shit to people.
Yeah,
but his game talks shit. The swagger and all that shit. I love that. I love when dudes are fucking running their mouth. And
same.
I like it when they win, and I like it when they lose.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Just, like, bring some excitement to the game. We're in 2019 now.
Yeah.
It's the age of social media. You can't just go out there and play anymore.
It's great. Look, he's great for the game. I did not hear that being on the plane. I barely escaped Hurricane Barry, Dan, race back here to the studio. So we're going to be dropping this episode a little later tonight. But I like that he said that, man. I think you need more of these guys like that. The problem is golf is so hard. You know, we were talking about it with professional bowling as well, why you can't get a superstar in it. It is so fucking hard that it's rare that a player can dominate like a Tiger Woods has or like a Jack Nicklaus has. It's just it's a once in a generation player. So far, Koepka. He's been on a good run, though, man, and he's fun.
He's
and the British
well.
Open is coming up. What this is it this weekend?
I don't know.
I believe it is.
But the thing with like you're saying with golf, it's every course is different. So maybe your game works on one course, but not on another. And if it's like one or two out of the four majors, that limits your possibility of winning to just that segment against the field of like what 70 fucking people.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up. That's. It almost feels like that's what Tiger Woods did this year.
He picked his slots
into the major into the Masters as far as the majors go, and that's it. Because he's not practicing either. He's not even practicing for non-majors.
I wouldn't.
He did say this week that it's taken a lot out of him, that Masters win.
What did he mean by that, taking a lot out of him?
I think with all of the pressure he was under and the victory and kind of getting off of that high, you know, at his age, trying to get it back together again, because he should be practicing more. Over the weekend, Serena Williams lost again in the finals of another major at Wimbledon. She got fucking housed. It wasn't like, oh, man, you lost in three sets in a tiebreak.
She's got to be the most athletic woman to ever play professional tennis, and even she in her early 30s right now.
No, she's late 30s. She's at 37 right now.
That's Venus.
No, Venus is 39.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, so the point is then, in your mid to late 30s, no matter what sport you're playing, it's fucking downhill. Yeah, even and golf. And you wouldn't think it would be with
her
golf.
First comment was, after she lost, she said, look, I think I'm going to have to start playing more tournaments to get in better game shape than what I'm doing now, because I'm not winning these majors. And she's right. She's lost, what? I don't think she's won since she's had a baby. I know that much.
I don't know.
I believe she's played in three and lost them all. And this, again, this wasn't even close. I think it was 6-2, 6-2.
And then the final?
You flip over to the men's side, and you have Federer at 37.
Yep.
And Djokovic, which was the greatest, probably final in the history
it
of
was,
Wimbledon.
I actually wasn't watching it, and then you fucking texted me like, hey, are you watching this? I'm like, no.
Hey,
so
up,
I turned
man.
It on. Like, holy shit.
I know.
That was a great fucking match.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And it's amazing what Federer's been able to do at this age.
I haven't seen...
He's still winning majors.
Like, who did... Pete Sampras retired at, like, 29.
I know.
Agassi stayed into his 30s, but he wasn't great.
I think with sports medicine, how everything has changed, yeah. And even Djokovic is just like, look, man, I had to change my diet. I was fucking around too much when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because he's 33, and he looks great. He is the best in the world right now, and it's amazing that him and Federer and Nadal have still played at a high level. I think with sports medicine, you're able to do it. I'm still going to say Serena's on the juice, man.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
I think when she had the baby, she had to get off of it. And maybe. In particular, when you're breastfeeding, you can't do that.
Yeah,
so.
It takes a little time to come back.
Correct.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's just a guess. I have no idea. I know the one story where, you know, she locked herself in the,
oh, yeah.
the panic room when the drug testers came.
Didn't they made fun of this on Ballers? Do you watch that show on HBO?
No, did they really?
Yeah. So I think it was the guy was like a wide receiver or some shit, and they were like knocking on his door, and he's hiding in his house like, hey, you got to come get me, bro, or some shit like that. Yeah. I didn't realize it until after the fact because I didn't know that story about Williams.
Yeah.
And then I heard about it. I'm like, oh, that's what they were fucking referencing right there.
It's yeah.
By the way, that show is pretty good. The Rock is great, and Rob Corddry is super funny too. You should watch it.
I gave it like one or two. I was all right.
You can't go one or two episodes on a show like
it's
that.
It's all right. You know, I'm one of those people though who I watch Entourage. I hated it, but I watched every episode.
I've never seen a single episode of that show.
That's what it was like to me. It felt like a sports version of Entourage.
Mm. I watched Arliss back in the day.
Yeah.
Remember that show?
God, the guy's a dick in real life.
Oh, yeah. He's a piece of shit.
The worst.
What's his name? Robert something?
Robert.
Wool.
That's yeah. it. Yeah.
He is a giant dickhole.
God damn it, man. one of my first gigs in LA, I was a waiter at the fucking Emmys, and I had him
mm-hmm.
for one of my tables, and he clapped in my face. Hey, whose dick do I got to suck to get some meat around here? And I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, easy, Arliss.
You know, honestly, that kind of sounds like the way you treat wait staff now.
Never. I don't. Look, because I was a waiter for a very long time. And I'm always thoughtful and polite for that exact reason. Because once you go back to that kitchen, hombre.
Oh, yeah.
You start talking shit
to
your
waiter.
It's the
fucking Thunderdome back there.
Dude, I'm polite as fuck. I'll talk shit after we get out of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Not in it. I worked in the service industry too long, man, at numerous places to do that. But, yeah, man, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole fucking shit wagon to be on the air. Before we get into the bigness of the show, first up, we got obviously mybookie.com. They're on for the year. They're building us our own personal URL. All your bets will be 100 to 3,000, automatically doubled. Do that starting in August 1st. Right now with this shit, man, I mean, again, we want you guys to win, which is why we did not think they would renew our contract, and they did. We want you to win. Do not bet on baseball. It's for fucking junkies, and you can't predict it. There's 162 games, man.
There's a lot of weird small shit that you can bet on if you're into that. If you're just bored, then yeah, go ahead. But don't put any real money on anything other than series. Like series and the postseason you can bet on.
Yes, because the postseason 100%.
Yeah.
I will give you the postseason all day long.
Yep.
Bet on the home run derby or something.
By the way,
I called
the entire postseason last year. But I was wrong about who would get in. But once we had it established, I was right about everything.
You were. I will say this. I am almost perfect in all my picks thus far for the postseason. And I feel real good about
it. The season's not over yet, fuckface.
I feel real good about it. Eh, we're in July. Look, you take a team like the Dodgers, they're not going anywhere.
Like, Milwaukee is collapsing right now. Yeah. Their starting pitching sucks.
It sucks.
I thought they were going to be... I thought it was going to be...
I think the but I think they're the wild card. I think they'll be good enough. I think they'll make it.
We'll see, yeah.
I think they'll
we'll
make
see.
It.
But, anyway, yeah.
Either way, that's, again, that's a perfect example. Like, Milwaukee, they're at home. You know, you're betting these weird games. Don't do it. No other sports show or host will ever tell you to do that. Oh, hey, fucking don't. No, man. I don't want to see you guys lose money at home. Betting on fucking baseball is junky shit, and so is NHL.
Well,
regular season NHL.
Sometimes I'll bet on golf, but I only
go for the long shots.
Yeah, if a guy's a long shot, then, and there aren't really any. There's never any. The favorite right now to win is fucking Rory McIlroy, and it's +850. So it's like no one is ever a minus in a golf tournament.
No, ever. No. And like, look, Rory's great for the Open. I believe it's in Ireland. Going home.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Rory, he's going home. But that's why these next couple weeks are going to be slow, because it's junky shit. Save your money, man. You know, if you want to throw like 10 or 20 on the over of a game or something like that.
Yeah.
Because typically when a guy like Clayton Kershaw is pitching for LA or one of the big pitchers like DeGrom or somebody like that, the odds are so shitty anyways. Yeah. You'd have to bet like $5,000 to win, you know, a few shekels. So don't do it. But special shout out to mybookie.com. We're back with them for an entire year, and they're also building some really fun shit for us to do. One of the things we in our meeting with them, Dan, was the pick'ems on Sunday, where you go through all of the NFL teams.
Yeah.
So we're in for that.
Yeah, we'll keep doing that. Yeah, by the way, we were 75% on that last year. So.
Yeah. Really, really crushed, and it was great. So looking forward to it. A lot of players moved, teams, and you know, we had a couple locks, too, because in 2 weeks, we're going to do our NFL way too early season predictions and our over under for all the teams for what they're projected to do for the year. And I had one lock last year. I'll have a lock this year, and it might be the same team,
the Chiefs again,
but different choices.
I don't. Different who was choices. Your lock last year?
My lock last year was Cleveland Browns plus. It was 4.5 wins. Was there.
Oh, we took the plus. We said 6, right? What did they end up winning?
Yeah. We won way on that. But Cleveland Browns this year, currently, and we'll see if this stays.
What's the over under?
10.5.
Ooh,
So
I'm not betting that.
I was on the plane today, and people were texting me about Cleveland because they're about to report for camp here pretty soon, and they were like, "Yeah, Browns 13-3," and I was like, "Yo, have you seen that schedule?
Yeah, that schedule's tough. I mean,
you
I think
might want to take a peeksies at it.
If it all comes together, I definitely think they can win 11 games, but I wouldn't bet the farm.
I do too, but it's going to come down to that last fucking game. Yeah. I'm going to take the under on that, but that's the fun of it. That's where we're going to get it to in 2 weeks. And yeah, man, we should have the college football odds out as well.
Yep.
Give me a fucking blast. Next up, we got buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. Headphones, brother. Video show. Check out these peeps, dude. Been killing these for months now, man.
Yeah.
I think they're on through the end of the year, too, man. Everybody loves them.
Yeah, they do. I mean, we see them.
I've seen them everywhere. I just didn't know, man.
It's crazy, yeah.
I didn't know. Best in the biz. So we tried to make a deal with iTunes for Beats by Dr. Dre to get cheaper headphones. They said no. Reached out to Raycon, and they were like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. Because it's hard to find an affordable wireless headphone today. And Raycon, dude, if you go to buyraycon.com/drinkingbros, it knocks them down from 70 to 50. And you can sweat with these things. You put it in the box. How long is it recharged for?
I think active time is 5.
Yeah.
And then like 200, I don't know what's
2,000 hours is what it is. Yeah. Yeah. And all you do is you stick them in this box, boom, you're good to go. And they recharge fucking quickly, man.
Yeah. 5 hours of playback and 2,000 hours of standby time.
Yep.
That's a lot.
And these actually fit in your shit. I don't, man. I can't wear those white fucking cum drops.
The AirPods?
Yes. Yeah. I hate those goddamn things.
A lot of people, I mean, they make a silicone thing that goes over the top of it. But even that doesn't really keep them in your ear that well.
No, I don't dig them, man. These are the ones I've liked.
If you're moving around when you're using them, I would recommend something like this for sure.
And luckily, all the users like them too. So go to buyraycon.com/drinkingbros today and get on that shit.
Get your dick wet.
Get your dick wet. Last but not least, we got boxofawesome.com.
It is a box of awesome things for dudes.
It is.
That's why they call it Box of Awesome. That's just great marketing, isn't it?
It is. It is great marketing.
It's bespoke posts. They have the best products out there. They kind of, it's almost like one of your favorite wineries that gets a bunch of different wines from different companies together and sends them all out at once. They grab all these different products that go together, package them in a bundle, and fucking ship them out to you all the time. It's fucking great.
Yeah. It's the best in the biz. You take a little five questionnaire thing, and they send you a personalized box every month. It's about $45. Promo code Drinking Bros at boxofawesome.com. 20% off your first box. Love those guys.
Yeah. I'm actually waiting on my new one to come in. I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I'm wet waiting for it. Wet with anticipation.
It's one of those things you wait for it every month. I want that fucking cast iron skillet, bro.
I'll sell you mine.
I saved, by the way, I know I said last but not least, but I saved ghostbed.com/drinkingbros for the end again. I just talked to them today. They're keeping those 4th of July deals going.
Really?
Yes. So, go. Like, dude, it's been fucking
several weeks now. Because they started like 3 weeks before 4th of July.
Like,
with
2 weeks,
shit.
three weeks. And I was like, dude, are you guys really doing this? They're like, yes, we are. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Get yourself a mattress. If you're military or first responder, 15% off at the bottom of the page. One of them, hey, they're giving away the free pillows again. They're back.
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, with our deal, I was just dicking around with it yesterday because I'm getting ready to buy a new bed for my new place here.
Yeah, you get a pimp-ass place in downtown Wilmington.
Yeah, it's very nice. Looks over the river.
You're going to be laying that dick down a lot of places.
That's indeed. Brother. So the pillows are back.
Yes.
So you get a fucking bed. You get the pillows back. It's fucking great.
Yeah. Best in the biz at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And again, man, regular human 4th of July deals are still going on. Military first responder, 15% off forever. And as always, 36 months pay-as-you-go program. No interest. No one's offering them on the internet. Again, man, I keep saving them for the end, man, because they keep having this 4th of July deal. And I'm like, all right, cool, brother. Ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Again, we're going to answer all your questions at the end. So if you're live on YouTube, subscribe. Ask us whatever you want, and we'll save those for the end. Big story here in the WNBA.
The domestic violence thing?
Yeah!
I never thought I would see this, honestly.
Ever in a million years. In a million years,
so,
a woman got banned 10 games for domestic violence. To me, that doesn't seem like very much. How long are their seasons?
I actually don't know.
Did she beat a fucking chick or a dude? Do you know that?
She was arrested.
Her ex-girlfriend.
She was arrested on felony charges of burglary with assault or battery and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill, which means she didn't hit her in the head with it or anything.
But wow.
She definitely went to the body with some fucking blunt object.
Like, and that only gets you 10 games.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, in the NFL, it gets you the whole season.
Yeah, no shit.
But then you're Greg Hardy and you end up in the UFC and it's all good, right?
Yeah, right.
He's actually fighting this weekend in San Antonio.
Is he really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah,
is he on UFC card?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, he's fighting his ex-wife, I think.
Is it Santos who's fighting this weekend?
I don't know who he's fighting. I just saw it.
Not Greg Hardy, but I believe the main card is...
This is a smaller fight. This is on ESPN4.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. The Quattro?
It's half the Ocho, so he hasn't quite made it yet. Although we did see him live at the Contender Series last year, and he fucking destroyed. He hit some guy so hard. I don't know if you guys have been to actual UFC fights before, but when you're this close away, like fucking feet away, and you see two heavyweight guys fighting, and they were both former professional football players, Greg Hardy and the guy that used to play for Tampa Bay, I think.
Yeah.
Or Jacksonville, maybe. I don't remember. But they were swinging each other so hard, I'm like, somebody is going to fucking die.
I know.
Holy shit. It was great. And he knocked that guy the fuck out, too.
I was incorrect. It's Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar.
Oh, that's
going to be a great
fight.
One.
Wait, Frankie Edgar?
Yeah.
How old is he?
90? No, he's 4 years old. And then it's a co-main event. Cyborg's on it, dude. I think that's her last one under contract, if memory serves me correct. Because
she's
going to be
free
a free agent
after
that. She's fighting Felicia Spencer, which
I don't know who that is.
She's 7-0, obviously an up and comer, but she wants no part of that Nunez rematch, I would imagine. Right?
I don't think anybody wants a piece of Nunez right now.
No. No, they don't. I'm amped about it. I'm amped about that card, but and then the Contender Series started again.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been checking it out. It's not quite as – we were lucky to get in the first few seasons because it was just the fighters, the families, and a couple of fucking people like us.
Yeah.
And it was like maybe 100 people in the whole building. Now it's like they moved it to a new gym and it's going to be bigger because ESPN's there and all this other shit.
Gotcha.
It's not like it was before. Like last year when we were there, you just fucking walk up and talk to the fighters afterwards. Hey, what's up, buddy? And talk to Dana and shit like
that.
Yeah. Now it's not going to be like that again.
Is Black Rifle sponsoring this year?
Not this year, no.
Gotcha.
No.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm assuming because of ESPN, they took over and did a bunch of
I'm sure they could have, but just not to get into it, but all the stuff they run as promotional material for this year came from last year, so you kind of get 2 years out of one spend.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a strategy.
Makes sense. Yeah, no, I get it. I understand it.
There's a small chance we know what we're doing over there.
Want to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners here. So, you know, college football is obviously in full swing. They're practicing right now.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts, they're saying he still hasn't won the job at Oklahoma.
Do you think that's a motivational tactic?
I don't know, man. I hate that shit.
Yeah, just give him the ball and hype him up.
That's it.
That's what a kid like that needs. He doesn't need – this isn't the fucking NFL where you have to fucking fuck with people's heads and prove shit. No, give him the ball and hype him up. Because his whole career has been about not getting that support.
Right.
Right? Like, the whole time he was there before, fucking Tua was, like, on his heels, right?
I was really surprised by that. They've made a big story out of it, but he looks thinner, by the way.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. So is he trying to run less? Is he trying to run more? It's hard for me to picture an Oklahoma offense where somebody isn't slinging it, but, you know, Kyler Murray ran his ass off, so
yeah.
Who knows what they're going to do. But to come out and say, hey, he hasn't won yet, was pretty surprising. It's going to be transfers all around at a lot of these big schools. You got Tate Martell at Miami, which we're going to go to that game.
Yeah, Miami versus Florida.
And we got two live shows, August 23rd.
Yep.
We're having a house party.
Oh, yeah.
You can join Drinking Bros podcast page on Facebook for that. And
that one's
and then the next day we're at Tactical Brewery for the college football kickoff.
Yep.
And we'll be getting the house there before the Miami,
Florida
game.
What time does that
Miami's
start?
Got Tate Martell. They've got a transfer quarterback. Yep. I don't know if I'm assuming he would start. He's a phenom. He was Ohio State's backup, but Ohio State ended up getting the other biggest phenom, Justin Field. Who's, you know, more than likely going to be theirs. The kickoff of that game is at 7 o'clock.
So we're going to start the live show at like noon.
Noon to 5 will be at Tactical Brewery. And we'll be getting fucking house with you and you can pop on down. Really looking forward to that. Look, Mayfield's already been talking shit about this Oklahoma Texas series. So.
I like it, man. I like him as a shit talker. I don't know if I like him as an NFL quarterback yet, but I definitely like him as a shit talker.
Yeah, it'll be fun, man. I don't see a world in which Jalen Hurts isn't starting for Oklahoma. I really don't
know who their
unless mentally he has another collapse like he did in that national championship a couple years
back.
Yeah,
possible. Who knows? But I mean, is that a mental collapse or is it just like we saw what Clemson's defense did this last year too?
Right.
So is Tua mentally weak too, or is Clemson's defense that fucking good? I think Hurts got blamed for a lot of shit that may or may not have been his fault. Like, Clemson's very good at defense. They had a great game plan. When Tua came in, it fucked up their game plan a little bit.
Yep.
But when they had 2 weeks to prepare for him this past year, what happened? He got fucking drilled into the ground, man.
He got absolutely rocked.
Like, that game, it was never in doubt in my mind who was going to win that game at any point. So, I don't know. I think Hurts, after last season, we should really reevaluate what happened the season prior to that.
Yes.
In that finals, my opinion. I think he carries a lot of stigma, like, oh, Tua took his job in the national championship. Yeah, he mixed it up, and Clemson didn't expect that to happen, so they weren't prepared for it. Sure, it happens. But when they were prepared for him, they fucking smashed that guy. So
yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens this year. One of the other interesting stories about Alabama that came out was that Nick Saban apparently was considering leaving Alabama to coach Texas. And that's according to a prominent source at Texas, he looked at leaving after the 2012 season to go to Texas.
Hmm.
So long time ago, obviously, but they said we had a call from his agent, and they had a conversation with Saban and his agent, and he said, "Look, he's a business guy. He's what you would call a turnaround artist."
Yeah,
is what he said.
Yeah.
And he's not a long-term CEO. He'd go somewhere and fix it, win, and move on. He knows he'll never catch Bear Bryant's legacy at Alabama, but he'd like to create his own legacy, and he'd win more national championships at more schools than anyone else, which I thought was really interesting. He's already done that at LSU. He's already done that at Alabama. He knows he could win a national championship at Texas. He knows he can. And that's what he said back in 2012. And
yeah,
I'll be honest. I believe it. There's a lot of talent in Texas.
Well, he's got a lot. There's yes.
You don't even have to recruit outside the state in Texas.
You really don't. And B is that, man, he's got a gravity when it comes to recruits. He's never been in any like major trouble with regard to fucking around there. I don't think, right?
No. My question is this, though. Let's say he loses this year to Clemson, right? And when we do our college football show, I'll have an even more surprising pick out of the SEC this year. But let's say he loses again. Let's say he gets embarrassed. Because that was an embarrassing loss to Clemson.
It was, yeah.
They got their fucking panties pulled down. Does he leave and possibly consider going somewhere else?
I think he has to at that point.
Like a USC.
Yeah. Somebody's going to go to USC soon.
Or if Tom Herman has a shitty year at Texas.
Yeah.
He could easily roll back to Texas if he wanted to. But I think that USC job is probably Urban Meyer. A bunch of people have hit me up and asked me that hey.
What's his health like, though?
It's the same. It's the same as it's been for 10 years. And the problem is this. He's a junkie. He loves the coach. And I personally think, yes, he'll take 2 years off and then he'll go back. But the only places that are left for somebody like him would be a Notre Dame, a USC, or a Texas. And that's it. He's not going to the SEC. I can promise you that. He does not want that competition.
No.
So
I don't think he'll go to the ACC either because he doesn't want to go up against Dabo.
No?
Why? What? Dabo's 49 years old. He's got lots of years left.
Plenty of years left.
And in fact, that brings up that question.
And he hates Tom Herman from Texas. So if Tom Herman stumbles and has a shitty year,
yeah,
and he reaches out and says, "Hey, man, I'm going to come in and coach Texas," I think Texas would back up the truck and do it. And I also think USC would do it. Because California's the same way. They get a ton of talent in California.
A lot of money, too.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. I don't know, man. What about Dabo? Do you think he's in Clemson for the long haul? Is he going to be a fucking Bobby
Bowden? The deal he just signed was something crazy. What was it, 10 years or something
like
that?
Yeah, it's a long deal. But you can get fired at any time in those jobs.
You can.
You have to lose at some point to get fired, I guess.
I don't see it. And here's my reasoning behind it. I never thought Clemson would ever be a powerhouse in football. I didn't think the school was big enough.
No.
And it's in South Carolina. It's kind of in a weird part of the state. To me, if I'm a kid, right? And I've gone through the recruiting process, mm-hmm. and you have too for different sports. For football, I remember taking a recruiting trip to Tennessee where the Volunteers play, right? They've been shitty for 20 years now at this point.
But back then, they were pretty good.
They were. And this was, well... Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. This was, what the fuck was that kid's name? Leak? Was it Tim Leak? Mm-hmm. No, that was Florida's quarterback. T. Martin. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. T. Martin was the guy that ended up getting them that title that year. When you go to that campus, not only are you greeted with some of the hottest women on the planet.
You're talking about Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stadium itself and the game that they gave me tickets to was Tennessee, Georgia. Under the lights.
Back then, that was a big one.
Bro.
Yeah.
Under the lights at Tennessee, seeing the whole entire day of partying, tailgating, the women.
Yeah.
There's a river right behind the stadium where you can pull all the rich-ass alumni was pulling boats up to it.
Yeah.
I'm a kid, I'd be dazzled by that. I understand Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
You walk into that stadium, campus is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It really is like out of a fucking magazine. And then you walk into that stadium and you're like, all right, this is incredible. You go to Texas. It's the same way.
Yeah.
You roll into Texas Stadium. You're like, holy shit, this is unbelievable. So there's teams that I don't know. I'm surprised that aren't very good anymore with what they have to offer. Tennessee is one of them at the top of the list. Notre Dame, they just can't get their shit together.
No,
that would be one if I think if they backed up the truck for Urban to go.
I mean, Notre Dame hasn't. They haven't won multiple championships in 5 years since like the fucking 60s, right?
They haven't won a championship since 88.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they haven't been a serious contender for like half a decade. For
right.
A very,
they've been
very
they've
long
been
time.
In a couple title games and they got trounced.
Yeah,
a couple playoff games.
Clemson's not a bad place to be, though. I mean,
but Clemson to me, it's not. It's just so small. I'm surprised that it's become a powerhouse for football.
Yeah.
Alabama. I've been to Alabama numerous times, and again, you walk into Bryant Stadium, and it's 90,000 plus.
Yeah,
you got all the women, you got all the whole shit. Like, Alabama's got everything you need to offer somebody.
Yeah.
To me, Clemson is kind of like an Auburn-ish type school.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, but there's in that general region, there's not that many better places to play. Like,
no,
you can go to Virginia back in the day; that would have been okay, but not really. Georgia, yeah. Georgia's all the way down in Athens. It's too far from Atlanta, I think.
It's about a 2 hour drive.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, Alabama's got a great place to play, and now that Greenville is such a nice place, Greenville, South Carolina, where I grew up, is such a nice place. I think that helps for sure. I mean, it's like Greenville's like it's like almost like Wilmington, actually, but bigger.
Yeah, and I think college football, it really goes to show you it is all about the coaching. How you're able to recruit. Because look, Dabo's able to do it at Clemson, so no, I don't think he's going anywhere.
So you think he's a Bobby Bowden, and he's a fucking lifer.
Yeah, if he loves it there, it's great. I think the only way he would possibly leave, and this is just purely hypothetical, is if Saban stepped down and they said, hey, come back to your alma mater and
maybe.
Alabama.
What do you think about the NFL for him? I don't know about him as a head coach. I could see him as a defensive coach.
But why do that? If you're the greatest, because to me, he's the greatest head coach in college football right now.
Yes.
Why leave?
I don't know.
Why leave to become a defensive coordinator? If you're going to coach the team, great.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's – I don't know. Because it's different.
He's an inspiring, motivating guy. I could see him coaching.
He is, but
– in the NFL.
But the NFL is more about managing personalities than it is about being inspiring as a coach. Like, your linebackers are inspiring to your defense
right.
for the most part. It's not the coach out there screaming at people that inspires people these days anyways.
Right.
And the players have – so like we talked about – they have so much fucking power now to shape their own team and their own destiny, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just has side effects. I don't know if a guy like Sweeney, who depends on his ability to communicate one-on-one with guys, I don't know. I don't know if it works, but it'd be nice to see it. Like, I would love to see it as an experiment, but I don't want to believe, I don't want to believe Clemson because it's super exciting right now.
I mean, look, even Saban gave it a shot at the NFL with the Dolphins. It was a disaster. But he gave it a shot, and at least he knew. part of me wonders if he hasn't already had these conversations with Saban.
You're talking about Sweeney?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably
because,
has.
Because, you know, you look at Urban Meyer. Urban never went to the pros, and he easily could have.
Yeah.
I mean, the Browns were after him for a long time at Ohio State. And I think there was a part of them that he probably had a conversation with somebody and said, hey, man, what's the difference? And they were like, yo, man, you're up against a bunch of overpriced assholes who are trying to dictate what they want to do and say they're going to sit out. I mean, you take what's going on right now and with the Chargers, with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. it's like, give me a new deal or I don't show up. And Le'Veon Bell showed like, honestly, if I were the other owners in the league and Pittsburgh isn't paying Le'Veon Bell, I'm calling them every day, pay that motherfucker because he's going to set a bad precedent and our players are going to do it next year. And we may see it with Gordon this year.
Yeah.
Like, if Gordon sits out this year, we have Le'Veon Bell to blame for that.
Yeah. And he was one of those people who they found this interview clip of him before last season when he was sitting there watching SportsCenter with his family while Le'Veon Bell was going through the whole thing. And his dad goes, do you think Le'Veon Bell's coming back? And he goes, no. I do not. And this was before anybody. And he goes, why not? And he goes, I wouldn't risk getting hurt. He's like, you got one more deal.
Yeah.
Right now.
People thought he was crazy for giving up $13 million.
Yeah.
But he didn't give up $13 million. He traded $13 million for
37,
for 37 guaranteed plus. I mean, if he hits his numbers like 55 or something.
Yeah.
It's, to me, that's
math. And
it's
your last contract.
That's math. That's all it is, yeah.
When I'm looking at Melvin Gordon's situation right now, they're the same age. He's the same age as Le'Veon Bell was. I can easily see him sitting out this season and saying,
especially
fuck you, I'm done.
With the Chargers. Yeah. Like, you're not going to win there this year.
You're not going to win a title.
You may win 10 games, but you're not going to win a title.
Yeah.
So why not sit out and then fucking shop yourself to a legit contender next year?
So I would not be surprised if they don't pay him, that if he sits out the entire year. It wouldn't shock me.
What's he asking for? Do we know? Has he said it?
No, but, you know, Gurley signed that big deal in the offseason. So
if you're him and you want that to happen, because it's not a bad move. You get a year off, rest your body.
Yeah.
You don't get paid, but you're rich already, and you're going to get a huge fucking contract no matter what next year, and you don't risk injury. Do you ask for something unreasonable from the Chargers so you know they can't give it to you? To force their hand so you can sit out that year and make that happen without looking like an asshole. I mean, you still look kind of like an asshole, but you don't just give up like OBJ did with the fake injuries, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
For those
of
you wondering out there, he was not injured last year.
And we
year.
Knew. We had insider info. Yeah. I got invited to that fucking dinner with him the night before the game, and I was like, yo, he's not going to play? He's like, he's fucking playing.
Yeah, he's doing backflips. And
he's not doing shit. But yeah, with Melvin Gordon, man, I would not be surprised. Look, I don't know any Chargers fans, so I don't think we're going to...
I don't think Chargers fans exist.
I don't either anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know that this becomes a story for anybody other than people who are actually on the Chargers. But my guess, again, way speculating way into the future, if he doesn't get the money, he's going to sit and say, fuck it.
I think he's going to request more than what they're willing to give him, and he's going to sit on purpose. I think that's what he wants.
Maybe. But the other part of me, though, looks at him.
Like, he's not on track to break any career records or anything.
No.
It's just not going to happen. So what's the point of playing this year? If you can sit out a year, rest your body in the toughest position on your body in the league, and then sign a fucking huge-ass deal the next year.
Again, I look at him. He's not as great as Le'Veon Bell.
No.
So, you know, to me, it's kind of a story for fantasy football. Because he's great in fantasy, but... Look, the Chargers aren't going to win a title.
I'm definitely not going to draft him.
No, if he's out, because that, you know, that happened in one of our leagues.
Even if they come to some kind of agreement, I won't draft him, and here's why. Because he's going to pull the same shit once they start losing later in the season that OBJ pulled this past year. Fuck that.
If they pay him, I think he'll play.
If they give him a multi-year deal, then I will draft him. If they give him a 1 year, like, with more money, no way.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't see it.
That's a ticking fucking clock right there.
I don't see it. I want to get into baseball here real quick.
Baseball.
You had a great reply to me on one of our text chains here about the Braves going after a closer, possibly trading one of their starters for a closer.
I think they're going to trade Ender Inciarte plus one of their young starters like Bryce Wilson, who they just called up to because Max Fried went on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
For a blister on his pitching hand. That's not a big deal or anything. Just give him time off. But I think they package one or more of their young hurlers, one of their fucking hard throwers, with Ender Inciarte, who's won 2 gold gloves, by the way.
Yeah.
He just struggled early this year because he was hurt, and then he went on the DL, and now he's coming back and all this shit. So he's ready to play very soon. I think he's in a rehab assignment now. It makes a lot of sense for them now before shit starts getting crazy towards a deadline at the end of August to make a deal now. For someone like, hold on, let me see that guy's name from San Diego who's just lighting it up this year. Kirby Yates, he's got 30 saves this year out of nowhere. But he is like on fire, and he's actually getting better as the season goes on.
Yep.
They're missing a closer. Their bullpen ERA is number one in the majors since I think June 10th or something like that. So they've definitely come around. Those bullpen problems they were having earlier aren't there anymore. They have 7 blown saves, though, in that time.
Yeah.
That's the fucking problem. That's the one last piece that they're missing. Their defense is very good. Their offense is incredible. Starting pitching is good. And Keuchel's blowing it up right now, too. I heard a rumor, and I won't say where because it would give some shit away, but I heard a rumor that the Braves are looking to move some minor league guys and maybe some picks for Bumgarner and this Yates guy.
Well, look.
Like, they want to go after both of those
Bumgarner
guys.
Bumgarner right now is on the – he's on the trading block.
He's not going to be in San Francisco much longer.
I don't think so either. He's
probably going to be the Yankees, right?
I'd love to have him. He's a gamer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they can afford him. We can. The Braves have been –
and by the way, Liberty Media will spend the money, they can definitely afford him.
And by the way, we're not talking about the Braves a lot because we're homers. This is genuinely one of the best teams in baseball right now. I'd spend more time on the Dodgers, but they've been so dominant. They don't need anything.
No.
They've lost the last two World Series, and I'm surprised. Look, we picked them to win the division. I think you picked them to go back to the World Series this year.
Yeah, I think it'll be the Dodgers or the Braves. I don't think the Cubs are going to do it.
Yeah, I said the Cubs before the season started. The Dodgers are 63-33. Yeah. They're doing everything right. That young talent looks great. And I'm surprised after moving Yasiel Puig and those guys. But we weren't surprised at this outcome. The next closest team in that division is Arizona, and they're 15 games back.
Yeah, that one's over.
It's over.
That becomes a problem in its own right, though. Like,
mentally,
teams that start to coast towards the end usually show up to that first round of the playoffs and get butt fucked out of it.
I know.
And the Dodgers have a history of losing playoff series. I mean, they've done pretty well the last couple of years, but we'll see what happens. I mean, shit. I like it where a team clenches within the last week and a half or so, maybe 2 weeks of the season. That's what keeps the energy going.
The energy going.
Yeah.
Look, Chicago's look good this year thus far. Cardinals, Milwaukee, these are all kind of middle of the road teams here, but the fight for these last wild cards will be interesting. Braves have a healthy 8-game lead. Washington's been a surprise after losing Harper.
They're doing pretty well, yeah. I mean, they still don't forget that they still have fucking Max Scherzer and Patrick Corbin and Steven Strasburg.
Right? Oh, look, man.
So that's like
if they're able to sneak into the playoffs with that pitching staff, good luck. I would not want to face them in the first round.
I wouldn't either, but to be honest, I mean, you can, if you're any of the top contending teams, you can match them pitch for pitch because their hitters are fucking bad.
Yeah.
They're not going to be scoring a whole lot of runs. I mean, they have Brian Dozier, who's had a decent year, but he's at 230 and 14 home runs. He's usually a 30 or 40 homer guy. So,
yeah.
I mean, even he's having a down year. I don't know if Zimmerman's even getting much playing time right now. I think he's on the DL again. So,
look, the Yankees are who I thought they exactly would be. I still get the Yankees in the World Series. I think they need one more bat. Totally kidding. Jesus Christ. Every guy on there is on pace for 25 home runs on that.
Yeah.
Every starter.
It's crazy.
I've never seen anything like it. One of the big surprises, though, is Tampa Bay. 56-40
They have the
out
best pitching in baseball so far this year.
Like, every 3 years, they keep popping back up, man, and make a run. Boston's having a tough time with Pedroia being out and
possibly
never playing again.
I think the Tampa Bay thing is the simulated universe, to be honest.
Simworld?
Yeah. Because it's like, why? They're good enough, often enough, to not get shipped to a different city.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Something's going on here.
It's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy. And then in the West, we got... Well, look, the Indians are six back. I didn't see the Twins beating the Indians this year, but I had them in the wild card. Either way, they're looking fine. And then the Astros are playing well. We thought the Astros would do really well. Verlander's having another great year.
Man, he's getting – it's almost like he's getting better with age.
I know.
It's starting to get scary.
It reminds me of Maddux. Maddux was getting older, he's getting better.
People forget those first 2 years with the Cubs, Maddux got fucking hammered. I think the year before his first Cy Young Award, he had like a 5.86 ERA or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, something clicked. And he had the most dominant like 14 years of pitching in baseball history.
Basically. Yeah, it was
crazy.
And he was only throwing, what, 88 miles an hour?
He would touch 90, but he didn't need to.
No. Right? And then the Oakland A's, man. When is somebody like the Cleveland Indians just going to back up the truck for Billy Bean and say, hey, man, just get us a fucking championship?
Well, you know, Boston went hard after him.
Did they really?
Yeah, after that fucking 2001
with,
season.
With Epstein?
Yeah. Like, they wanted him badly, and he was like, good.
In Oakland. That's so wild.
I don't know if his family was there or what, but you can move your fucking family.
I don't either. How lucky do you get in this life where Brad Pitt is playing you in your own biopic?
Who do you think is going to play you when you eventually get raped and murdered and left on the side of the road somewhere.
Right, right, right.
Who's going to play you? I would say probably Forest Whitaker, right?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's got to be Forest Whitaker. Yeah.
Or
sure.
Octavia Spencer, one of those two. But she's an Academy Award winner, so that's...
Yeah, no, so he's fine. I'm sure he'll pull it off. Just going whiteface, Forest Whitaker and whiteface. Why not? We want to focus on some betting. Some of you hit us up last show, and we're like, hey, man, we go to mybookie.com. We see a lot of these numbers for gambling. What do they mean? What do they mean, Ross? What does plus 500 mean?
Right.
What does plus 400 mean? And something like the U.S. Open and things like that. If you see a plus 400 next to a number, it means if you bet $100, you win 400.
Yep.
If you see a minus number, like, I don't know, I think the Dodgers were like minus 165 tonight. It means you have to win, you have to bet $165 just to win 100.
Yep.
Your odds aren't that great, which is why we don't tell you to bet on baseball a lot.
No.
It's very, very pitcher dependent. And if you get a guy like Clayton Kershaw who's pitching, and again, this is just a, I don't know if he's pitching tonight. I was on a plane today. But if you get a guy like that who's pitching like that, why risk it? Why risk that kind of money to only win $65?
And the other problem with baseball is there's not a more data-driven sport out there right now. Like, you see the shifts. You see the way they pitch batters
Billy
now.
Bean is...
I mean, it's fucking crazy.
It's all
crazy.
Algorithms. And yeah.
The guy's setting these... lines in Vegas, they know this shit too, right? The professionals at that. They know who matches up well with whom and all this other bullshit. Unless there's some kind of last minute replacement, no way.
You know, the weird thing about it is I think there's only about 4 to 6 guys total in Vegas who make all of these numbers across the board.
Yeah, we've had one of them on the show, actually.
So wild to me. Where you're like, man, how do you sit there and do this day after day over and over and over again and get it this close all of the time? It's phenomenal.
They're
definitely
better than meteorologists. Meteorologists are full of shit.
Yeah, but look, for some of these Super Bowl prop bets and college football championship prop bets, you're going to see different numbers. So you're not going to see the plus 400s. You're going to see like 4-1, 10-1.
Yep.
That means you win 10 times your money. So if you put down $100 on a 10-1 bet, boom, you're winning a grand.
A 10-1 is like a plus 1,000, basically.
Correct.
I mean, if you want to translate between those two numbers, like, plus 400 is 4-1 odds.
Yep.
Basically. So,
and a lot of people say, I don't understand why it's not universal. I don't understand that either. Like, you take boxing, for example.
Yeah.
Boxing is still in like plus 500, plus whatever.
Yeah.
You never see like 4-1, 15-1, unless you go into the physical casinos themselves.
And horse racing is always odds.
Odds, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't
Me neither. But, you know, if you ever see an odd, like, obviously 1 to 90 to 1 is, you know, 90 times winning your money, whatever you put down. Occasionally you'll see like a team like the Clippers who went from, you know, 9 to 5 odds or whatever.
Yeah.
It's basically just under like 1.8 to 1 to win. So you're almost doubling your money.
Which would be
very, very close.
By the way, a plus 180.
Correct.
Just as you're thinking about that, that kind of shit helps.
Yeah. Some of the other things to look forward to betting wise, football. For college and for pros,
yep.
That's all spreads, you know. So -7 is,
well, you can take the money line on those.
Yes,
you can take the money line, which would be standard odds. But typically, what people bet on are spreads in these sports.
Because if you take the money line, you don't win a lot of money, especially if you're betting a favorite.
And there's not a whole lot of parity for most of the in like college football. You may play 4 games a season that are like good matchups, and the rest are, especially if you're an SEC team.
Yeah.
The rest are just bullshit.
Really, really bullshit. And
I think
I would
Alabama
recommend...
is actually opening up against you and I are just going to play them.
Who?
Alabama. Oh, we're just going to play. That's their first game of the season, just you and I.
Alabama's schedule is disgusting.
It's so stupid.
We'll pull that up during the thing. It's awful.
Yeah, it's bad.
They've got
really
hard games this year. LSU, I think, and Texas A&M. poof. The rest of it's a joke.
It's not great.
No. But if you're going to bet the money line, like Dan was talking about, things to do it in would be for parlays. Because you're not going to win a lot. If you're, you know, if you bet Alabama plus the money line and it takes away their spread, let's say they're favored by 50 in their opening game, which they probably will be.
It'll be 40 plus for sure.
Right. You can take away that thing, but you know it would take you $1,000 to win like $80 or something. So,
but
I
our buddy,
do it.
Our buddy Xander, who part owner of Super Seedwell, company that makes these great fucking like superfood like donuts and cupcakes and
best cookies, CBD cookies, best CBD, CBD cookies I've ever had.
Yeah, they're really good.
I made fun of CBD forever, and finally people are dialing it in. It's great. Superseedwell.com does that shit really, really well. They're not even sponsored.
No, they're not. But Xander fucking makes a ton of money on parlays.
Yes.
That's his thing. For some reason, he just feels comfortable betting on those a lot.
Five teams, six teams. It's a lot, and it's very hard to win a parlay, but it can be extremely lucrative.
He missed a $65,000 payout by one game. Yeah, and well, I think it was like four points or some shit like that. Yeah.
Crazy. But that's when it makes sense to bet money line. If you're betting a lot of parlays, that'll give you the best shot at winning those parlays, is betting the money line. In baseball, again, I wouldn't recommend it until you get to the playoffs. But if you are betting baseball, the run line will help you eliminate some of these pitching odds that are really, really terrible. Again, I'll just use Clayton Kershaw because he's one of the best in the biz. But if you're going against Clayton Kershaw, it's usually about a 165, minus 165, 175, which means you have to bet 175 to win 100. The way to eliminate that big of a line is to take the run line, which means you have to win by two.
Yep.
So win by two runs, which, man, is really hard in baseball. So
you never know. I mean, that you're not just depending on the pitcher at that point. You're depending on the offense.
Yeah, man. As well, so me personally, I have a hard time justifying telling you guys to bet on Major League Baseball that isn't the playoffs or hockey that isn't the playoffs. Just simply because it's too tough and to play great night in and night out for 162 games or 82 games in an NHL season.
It's a streaky sport.
Yeah.
Both actually hockey and baseball are both really streak-driven sports. Like you see guys go on long hit streaks, or they have long, like, they pitch 10 games in a row where they just lights out. All of a sudden they have four games where they suck, and you never know what's going to happen. Right?
Yep.
So I agree with you.
So that's kind of the short form version of it, but feel free to sign up to Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. It is a private group, and you can ask all these questions. We're always on there. We'll always answer you. Let's get to some of the listener questions here, shall we? Matthew Masaig. It's Masaig. I like that name. I don't know what it's almost Viking or some type of Nordic name. Who do you think makes the first major league trade in the MLB? I'm actually going to go with the Bumgarner trade. I think that'll be the big blockbuster that happens this year. And
I don't know who it's going to be. I mean, honestly, the Braves need a closer more than they need another starter, because they can go Tehran and Keuchel and then whomever else out of Fried and Soroka and those guys, whoever's hot at the time, and do pretty well, because Fried and Soroka both pitched out of the pen before. They need a closer. I think if they can get that trade done and get a closer, they may go after Bumgarner afterwards. That's why I think they're going to try to move early.
Yeah.
But the Yankees are probably going to try to get Bumgarner. That's what I've been hearing.
And look, I think he's the biggest piece out there that will be traded.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I lean on that. Mike Steven, why is Tom Brady so damn awesome? You know, it's funny you say that, man. I saw him and Giselle on those pictures on the beach today. And I don't know, man. Some people in life just get the sunshine kisses their dick holes.
I think he's a robot.
Anyone else?
I think he's a robot, and he's in a position in a sport where being a robot like that is beneficial. That's what I think. Like he takes only calculated risk all the time.
Yes,
and he's like Saban in that way. He probably wakes up and eats the same fucking meal at the same time of day every single day.
He does.
He's
that fucking TB12 shit, and that's all he does. Like all day.
It's almost pathological with people like that. Like
he's
probably a psychopath. Like, honestly, there's like 20% of the population.
Right. Yeah.
But like, he's probably a psychopath, and his brain just works that way. And that's why he's so good at it. He doesn't get emotional shit.
Behind the scenes, look, Tom Brady to me, yes, he's a great NFL quarterback. That other weird shit of him open mouth kissing his children.
It's super weird, yeah.
The food and all that other stuff. And he still has no shape to his body whatsoever.
No, he's got, I wouldn't say a dad bod, but he's
just a normal fucking dude.
Yeah, he's never been ripped or anything.
No.
Not that quarterbacks typically are, but.
Yeah, but this year, I think, is the decline for Brady. I don't think they get back to the Super Bowl. You don't think so?
No, I think Brady's going to have a great year this year.
You motherfucker.
I just feel
we'll find out. We're doing a big NFL show.
Yep.
here in a couple weeks. So stay tuned to that. Benjamin Jason Flores, what do you think about Jimbo Fisher's reasoning for scheduling cupcake schools? This is a great question, and I said this last year before the season started. I said, with this SEC bullshit, with them scheduling all these easy goddamn teams, it's going to bleed over into the rest of college football.
It's got to.
Because you can't lose one game. Ohio State lost one game last year.
Yeah.
And I know those bunch of assholes on Reddit called it the cancer game. Not Ohio State fans, but somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of that kid.
Cancer kid, yeah.
Even I was rooting for fucking Iowa in that game. But I said, look, man, that is an extra in-league schedule where you could schedule somebody else, and they chose not to, and now it's going to cause everybody else to. I looked at Ohio State's schedule. It's shitty this year.
I mean, it's what they're doing is systematically devaluing their product, which is going to become problematic at some point in the near future. Like, people aren't going to watch no one's going to fucking tune in to watch Alabama beat some D2 school by 60 fucking points.
I don't know if they're going to put those games on physical TV
that's what
anymore,
I'm saying,
or it's just going to be on the SEC network.
What games are going to be fucking left, though? If everybody that's a major contender starts doing this shit, what games are going to be left? You're going to end up watching fucking Wake Forest play.
I know. It's getting bad. And this year, when we go over this, scheduling is going to be one of our biggest issues when we talk about the college football season coming up, because nobody, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, all these guys don't have fucking hard schedules because everybody's doing this stupid shit. So, Benjamin, that's a great question. Kalen Cathrone, how many times are you going to bet against the Patriots and lose? Look, man, I learned my lesson after the Falcons game. Last year, before we went to the Super Bowl, we bet heavily, heavily on the Patriots. We told the audience to take the Patriots. We won a lot of money. It's not exciting football to watch, but I stopped doing it after the Falcons game, and I won a lot of money. But goddamn, if that wasn't the most boring Super Bowl of all time.
It is, yeah, it was the worst. Except for, you know, us getting into scraps afterwards, but
yeah,
that's not for public consumption.
No. His follow-up question is, what are the chances of Bama-Clemson rematch? We'll get to that in our college football show here in 2 weeks.
I'd say it's probably 50-50. It depends on Hurts and how he performs, and right now it sounds like they're setting...
Tua, you mean?
Tua, yeah. Because he looked pretty banged up at the end of last season. He's young. We'll see, but we'll get into that later.
Next question, Derek Wagner. Will the Chiefs finally make it this year? Strong talent and good defensive moves. # Chiefs Kingdom. Here's the thing, Derek. I love the Chiefs. I love watching them play. I think a lot of it is going to come down to this Tyreek Hill situation. And speaking of it, this week, that was one of the big stories where they finally released the full audio. Other than that bullshit clip that was going around on draft night, you remember? And I got to be honest, listening to the full audio makes me give Tyreek Hill a little bit more benefit of the doubt. And I don't know how many, they're going to give him some games, right? Probably 2 to 4.
It won't matter. It'll be so early in the season that it won't matter.
I don't think so. So, and here's why I say this. If it's 2 to 4, I think the Chiefs come back and they have a really great year. And yes, they could absolutely compete for the Super Bowl.
I mean,
if something crazy happens, and he doesn't play.
Yeah. You never know.
Then no, because he's the most exciting. He's one of the most exciting players in the sport to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And without him going deep with Mahomes or returning punts and all that shit, like, I don't think they have a shot without him this year.
Probably not. Probably not. But I don't think he's going to miss that many games.
Yeah. Nicholas D. Leonardo. Why do people hate Philadelphia so much beyond the obvious reason that statistically we have the biggest dicks in the lower 48? I like that. He said, Alaskans breed with polar bears, therefore they have bigger dicks.
You know, polar bears have sideways vaginas.
Really?
No.
Okay. I didn't know that, but that should be a law. Should be a state law.
A state law, yeah.
This is great. Look, Philadelphia, we've been there a couple times. We actually enjoy the city.
I like Philadelphians. Our Philadelphians, same. I don't know how you say it, but your sports fans are fucking assholes, man. When opposing, there's a difference between having pride in your team and rooting for your team and throwing fucking batteries at people.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a fucking fine line between shit-talking and assault.
I will say this. Ever since you guys opened Lincoln Financial Field, though, there has been less and less of that.
Oh, yeah.
I think because the tickets got more expensive, it's more a little bit more corporate, and the fans are a little bit more upscale. So, like, when we went for the opening of the NFL football season last year, I was surprised. I was like,
it was super calm. Yeah.
All right. Fuck. Yeah. So
I believe you were wearing a Michael Vick jersey as well, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't really get any flack from that.
No. So we had a pleasant time there.
Yeah.
We went back for Army Navy. I think Philadelphia's sports fans are changing a lot. Phillies are definitely not changing. Phillies fans are, but you signed Bryce Harper to a $900 million deal. And
he's hitting 240. So.
240. That's tough. That's really, really tough. Richard Danoff, are there any underdogs this year going into college football? They're going to make a splash. Other than the usual suspects.
We're not
going to
tell you
Bama.
Yet, Richard.
Yep. Clemson and Oklahoma. We're saving that for the college football show. The college football show will be the first week of August.
Yep.
First week of August.
But
we'll
will
doing
see
that
you
show.
In person, Richard.
Yes.
What week? I can't remember the weekend, but it's whenever the Browns play the Dolphins.
Browns play the Dolphins, and it's Ohio State, Penn State.
Yep.
I believe
we'll
it's November 23rd. Does Cody Bellinger, this is Joe Martin, Cody Bellinger or Christian Yelich win NL MVP? Before the season started, I said Christian Yelich would repeat. Right now, to me, this is a coin toss.
It is a coin toss, yeah, but Yelich has started to slow down quite a bit recently.
He is, yeah.
We'll see what happens. You never know what's going to happen in the second
half. And if
half.
They, you know, look, the Dodgers are so far ahead if they start to rest Cody Bellinger a little more. But right now, those are the two best in the NL, and I'm not surprised by it. Cody Bellinger a little bit because he's come up faster, but yeah.
And winning back-to-back is difficult. Like, you have to have the thinking is amongst the baseball writers is you have to have a better season than you had the year before. And how does Christian Yelich come out and have a better season than he had last year?
Right.
You know, like, compared to the rest of the field. If Bellinger stays close with him, Bellinger will win. That's what I think.
Yes, I do too.
But nobody's Bellinger's a great fucking player, and I thought he would have a great year. I didn't think he'd have this great of a year.
No.
Like, he's hit some kind of stride, and he's still young as fuck, man. So they're actually both young. I think Yelich is 26, right? So this is – we have, between them and Acuna Jr. and fucking Vlad Jr. and Tatis Jr., we have just a great couple of like a decade of great baseball coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's
going to
be super fun.
Yeah. Brandon Taylor Bates, what sports should be in the Olympics that isn't? You know, that's a great question. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it's women's softball, actually. They took it out.
Are there enough international teams –
Yes, there was.
To make it competitive, that's all I would ask.
There was.
I like watching women's softball.
Here's what they're replacing it with. This is not a joke either. You can look this up, I promise you. They are considering putting breakdancing into the Olympics, and I believe it's either 2024, 2026. But I think the women should have softball, at least. I mean, man, that is...
Are you saying that
crazy.
Because you're an American and we probably have the best team?
Softball-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just an American homer.
But I love baseball. I'm a big baseball guy, obviously. There is a ton of girls, including my wife, who grew up playing softball.
Yeah, I mean, it's big here, for sure.
You have nowhere else to go after that. You can't play professional. So the Olympics was something that every girl looked up to. That and soccer, I think, and gymnastics. So when they took that away, why? That was dumb.
Yeah.
I think it should definitely be in.
I agree.
Women's hockey is great
Women's hockey is great to watch. They're actually not that this is a women's sport, but I believe this upcoming year that the wind tunnel shit's getting added, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck?
But curling's in there, man. So I think it should be women's softball. I know that's a weird
should
one.
Pete Rose, this is Josh Ray. Should Pete Rose be allowed in the Hall of Fame? Yes.
100%.
There's like, it's not a fucking morality contest, dude. The first 50 years of Hall of Famers were all racist assholes.
Yeah.
That played and colluded to keep black and brown players out of the game. Right? So fuck that. This dude did was bet on his own team to win.
I know.
Like, what the fuck? You should, if you bet on your own team to win, I feel like that should be the only legal gambling allowed.
With gambling becoming as big as it is now, everybody's betting on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Pete's been on, twice, two or three times on Drinking Bros? Great guy, and is super honest and candid about everything he's ever done. And, it should be mandatory that you bet on your own team. This Pete Rose shit is way overdue, man.
Yeah,
Jesus,
like, what the
Christ.
Fuck are we waiting? He's like
73
now. Get over
it.
Now.
Put him in the Hall of Fame,
I hope
man,
he gets
while he's still
in.
Alive.
Yeah, I hope he gets in before he dies because that's fucked up.
Rick Johns, with a healthy Oladipo, where do you think the Pacers will stack up in the East?
Middle of the pack.
Yep. And do you think Miles Turner is going to do well if he transitions to a true five? I do. And the Pacers are a gritty fucking team, man. Oladipo's injury was unfortunate, and it was almost catastrophic. He's going to have to come back from that first.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, he's a very good player.
Very good player. But with the way that the East is stacked up now with Boston, the Nets, and Milwaukee, they would be lucky to be a 4 or 5 seed, I think, if he comes back completely healthy. So we'll see. We'll see what happens for him. Yes, Seth Morton, we did go over the basics of gambling. And again, if you have any other questions, please go to just sign up for Drinking Bros Sports.
There's some more on the
on Facebook. YouTube, we're going to get channel, to the ones on here as well. But if you have any more gambling questions, even before the game start, man, just go to sign up for Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook and we'll answer them to you. Fire away, D'Anthony. What's this pressure wave? What's the skinny with Florida? You're going to make a trip to the St. Augustine area. Yes, pressure wave. We're going to the Florida-Miami game. That is the opener for us. So we're going to go to that August 24th. We will be there for that. I'm just as curious about Florida as everybody else is. I think they're going to have a really big bounce back year. And if they win this first game against Miami, man, it could give them a lot of momentum going forward for the Florida Gators. So I'm excited about it, but I'm kind of waiting to see how their quarterback is going to turn out.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see him live the first week, so we'll know then. That's not an easy game for either one of those teams. So
at all. And the fact that they're starting their season off with that, look, you lose that game, you're almost out just based on how easy the SEC schedule is this year.
We'll see.
Let's talk football. I hate basketball. Dave Pratt, look, football's coming up, my man. We got 2 more weeks. Chris Paul is going to your mom's house tonight for a deal from Jody Barrett for one night for $17. Look, man, I think Chris Paul got the shit end of this. I haven't heard anything bad about Chris Paul. Have you?
About him, like from other players?
Person?
The only time I've ever seen him run into personnel issues was with James Harden, who wanted the ball all the time.
Yeah, well, Jalen Rose said something a couple days ago that Chris Paul isn't always the easiest to play with, that he's demanding, and it's like,
Jordan was demanding.
No shit.
Jordan would fucking yell. And I think this is where Draymond gets a lot of his bullshit from. Not that he's in any way the same class as Jordan, but the way he talks to other players on the court is very similar to how Jordan did. Like, he would fucking chew your ass out, but you would always get the hype up when you did well too, right? You get both sides of that. And then when Scottie Pippen showed up, he was kind of the same way. He would chew you out and do your fucking job. But you never saw those two butt heads really.
No.
I think the way James Harden plays defense is the same way he does leadership on the court, and that's why he's never going to fucking win a championship.
I 100% agree. I don't see him winning a title, and I certainly don't see it with Westbrook.
No.
Because I think they're too similar. Lee Huntington, let's talk baseball. Do you think anyone can contest the Yankees come the World Series time? Does L.A. or Atlanta have a chance for the NL? I think the Yankees are going to win the World Series. Mm. And in particular, if they pick up Bumgarner.
If they pick up Bumgarner, then they become the favorite in my mind. But right now, they're starting pitching. Like, their second starter is CeCe Sabathia. He's like 75 years old. He's having a decent year.
Last year of his career. He's retiring after the season.
He's got a 4 ERA right now. So maybe the fact that it's his last year.
To answer your question, though, with LA or Atlanta have a chance for the NL, I think both of them do, absolutely. I have a hard time with the Dodgers simply because they've lost the last 2 World Series.
Yeah.
I can't remember a team exactly mentally coming back in there. Maybe the Braves. I think the Braves in the 90s were the only ones to lose a couple World Series.
They lost the one. They lost in 91 to the Twins and then in 92.
Yeah, but they came back in 95 and won it.
95, though, that was like years later. That was a different team. That was a Chipper Jones and Ryan Klesko team. It wasn't the Ron Gant team. Ron Gant was gone then, right?
Yes. Yeah, you got a motorcycle accident. Yeah.
It went to the Cincinnati Reds, I believe.
But yeah, to answer your question, absolutely. Atlanta or LA could. They could absolutely do it. I just I think Atlanta's a little too young and they need one more year. And
I think if they have a closer, Atlanta wins. Honestly.
Yes.
That's not a homer pick. I mean, they are the best team in baseball right now.
But right now they need one more person. Yeah. So we'll see.
And LA, like we said earlier, LA's problem is there's a decent chance that the last month of their season is going to be meaningless and they're going to be in their own heads thinking about those last 2 fucking World Series they lost.
Yeah.
That's not great for anybody.
No.
Like, if you talk to any, especially basketball players who get in the zone, they stop thinking, just let their body react. When you have time to think, that's when you fuck shit up. You see these guys with wide open three-pointers, and they take an extra dribble and just throw it off the side of the backboard.
Yeah.
Right? But you see a guy grab it, quick shot, and he makes it every time. I think that's going to be the Dodgers' problem.
Yeah, I did too. So we'll see. Let's see. Ruben Schneider. We need a real Happy Gilmore in golf. Look, we talked about that earlier, and I agree. I think we need a John Daly again, man. I'd love to see a Kepka's long John back
starting
in
to
there.
Talk some shit.
I know.
He's like, look, I'm not going to practice for something that's not a major. Fuck you. I think it's hilarious.
Ballers, Franco Melendez is a big Ballers fan, dude. Are you talked about that earlier. Were you a gigantic Ballers fan?
I'm not a gigantic fan, but I think it's a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
is
I think it's
good.
I don't
what
I didn't
season
say
are they on?
I actually don't know. I haven't watched this past. I usually let a whole season go by and then watch it all at once. I'm a binge watcher.
Franco Melendez, Brewers will get a wild card. I said that actually before the season started. I'm going to stick with it.
It's tough, man. I mean, if the Phillies get in shape, then the Brewers don't have a shot because they have to get past the Cardinals and then get
right
past the Phillies too.
And when you're playing in division like that where all those teams are good and you're beating each other up, it's tough. But I will say yes. I'm going to stick with my pick and say the Brewers absolutely will do it. Last one. I say this is Craig Dulesky, who we love him. Craig Dulesky says 10-6, and Odell plays every game and doesn't fake an injury for the Browns.
He's not going to fake an injury now. but I agree with that. I think they're 10-6 or 11-5, one of the two.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're not going to. I wouldn't bet on it because there's just too many things that could go wrong. There's no way. There's just no way. Come on.
Ross, this is Sean. What's the most underrated team this year in college? Who is it? We're going to do our college football show in two weeks. Craig Dulesky said, hey, I bet the surprise is Kentucky or Tennessee. No, it is
Kentucky
not.
Was a football school for about 6 weeks.
Yep. With Snell Jr.
When Snell was actually running the ball.
Gone.
Then he like disintegrated as a human being, and that's over. So fuck off, Craig.
Richard Danoff, will Zeke Elliott get paid? Dak wants way too much, in my opinion. I agree, but the problem is there isn't a lot of quarterbacks out there. I think Dak gets his money, and I think Zeke Elliott also gets his money. Zeke is great. He just won't stay out of trouble.
The
man.
Cowboys have been paying
asshole.
People. I mean, say what you want about Jerry, but he's been paying people like
for years.
Yeah.
The only person he didn't pay was Dez Bryant.
Well, I think that was more about attitude than it was the money, probably.
Yeah. And look, Dez Bryant tore an Achilles and was done.
Yeah.
And it might be his career.
Could be, yeah. We'll see what happens.
What about California? This is Richard, his follow-up question. What about California moving forward with student-athletes allowed to profit off their likeness?
Yes.
Will it pass? Will it dismantle the machine? This has been going on since that Ed O'Bannon thing for UCLA. And they won that suit against that video game company.
Against, was it EA or was
it? Yeah, I think it was EA Sports, for college.
Yeah, they should absolutely be able to profit off their own image. It's their own image. Why would they not be allowed to profit off of it? That doesn't, I mean, look, is there some fucking intrinsic purity assigned to a college athlete because they're not getting paid to do what they're doing? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And look, honestly, if you're a college that has more money than other colleges, you should be able to fucking buy better players. That's capitalism. That's how it works, man. Like, get the fuck out of here with this horse shit.
I know.
God damn, dude.
I know. And there's a bunch of people fighting about this. We're talking about the Saban thing going to Miami. And if Breeze would have went to the Dolphins instead of the Saints, how much different their worlds would have been.
It would have been very different. Drew Breeze is a pretty good football player. I don't know if you noticed that. By the way, Drew Breeze is my fucking way too early pick for MVP in the NFC this year.
Really?
Yeah.
He's funny. We were in
New
Orleans.
Fucking pissed off, homie. He's mad.
Man,
he's mad this year.
We were in a Uber going to the airport this morning in New Orleans, and that's what they were talking about was Drew Brees. And so let me ask you this. Do you think he'll play beyond this year? Because I think this is his last year under contract.
He's going to be 37 this year, I think.
I think he might be 40.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was younger than that. Well, either way,
I think he might be 40 or 41.
I don't think this is going to be his last year, no, just to answer the question.
I don't either. Especially if he has a great year, why not come back and absolutely dominate? Like, they've got a killer team down there in New Orleans, man.
They, I mean, they really do. They just, he's, yeah, he just turned 40 this year. I mean, he threw 4,000 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 5 picks last year. I think he's going to probably come back. I'm going to say that that's my way too early NFC MVP right there.
Whew!
I'll tell you why. If you go back and look at the last play of his season last year,
yeah,
he's a little bit butthurt about it.
Oh, boy. That whole city is.
Yeah.
Even I went to the Rolling Stones concert last night. Even Mick Jagger made a comment on stage.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And he goes, he said something to the effect of Hurricane Barry was like the last play for the Saints last year.
Yeah.
Just a no call all the way around on that one. It just kind of fucked everything up.
That's, I mean, look. The last time something major happened in that city that was an emotional driver, they fucking won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is clearly a team that's motivated by emotion. I think he's going to fucking light it up this year.
Sean Thomas, a lot of talking heads, big fans of the Colts this year. Why? Look, Andrew Luck looked fantastic last year. He's back with a whole kit and caboodle's worth of offensive weapons, and it looks like they're finally getting some help on defense. So...
we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, they have a lot of guys that were injured at the end of last year.
Yep.
We'll see how they come back because you never know, right? Like, it looks on paper like it's going to be good. And
yeah.
if it works out that way, I think they're going to have a super good fucking year. Yeah.
Same, man. And they could be in the mix. So, Sean Thomas, if you're a Colts fan, it could be great, great year for you. Franco Melendez, will Trubisky have a breakout year under the Nagy offense?
You know, I'm not sold on the guy, to be honest. I mean,
I like him as a quarterback. I still think they need some wide receivers who are superstars.
Yeah,
you know?
You can't. The NFL is a superstar league now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, other than the Patriots, and let's not, like, Edelman is a superstar. Whether you want to believe it or not, or give him credit for it or not, he's kind of a douchebag. And yep. So is Tom Brady, who open mouth kisses his children, by the way. Both giant douchebags, but they're also superstars in this league. And there's the only superstar on Chicago's team is on the other side of the ball. So I don't know if we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, look, their defense is great. So you don't need that much offense.
It takes a lot of pressure off, yeah. But it also makes you, as an offensive play caller, probably risk averse, right? Like the same way the Ravens have been for years.
Yeah.
Your defense is so good, you don't have to go out there and bomb it all the time. So why take the risk?
No, well, and Trubisky keeps getting better and better, and he's great at clock management. So, look, the Bears are going to be certainly tough this year, but does he have a breakout year? He's not the fantasy guy I would move up four and pick as your quarterback.
No, definitely not.
Benjamin Love, do you see the Browns winning the AFC North? I would not sleep on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
I
think the Steelers are going to do well this year.
I mean, too.
I think it'll be a shootout between those two teams. I mean, obviously the Bengals aren't going to do anything.
No.
I don't think the Ravens are going to
Ravens are still in that
again.
Division, so it's
come
tough,
on, man. There's no fucking way.
Suggs is gone, so look, I'm with you on that. But I'm, you know,
you think Lamar Jackson's going to win 10
no,
games next year?
No, I don't. Playing devil's advocate, you know, he's one of those guys who could sneak in a win or two. I wouldn't sleep on the Pittsburgh Steelers though. I don't think this is a shoo-in for the Browns like everybody else thinks. Lucas Dake, how do you feel about the NFL possibly shortening games to get to 18 games for a season instead of 16? Look. The more football, the better, obviously. We love. You're talking about more injuries, though,
yeah.
Or the potential for injuries. You got to eliminate two preseason games to get to this number.
Yeah, and you're also going to start seeing coaches sit players like you didn't before.
Right.
Like, look, if you were a game up with a game left and you were playing a shitty team and your opponent had some kind of issue, you probably were, you know, maybe play your guys the first half and then bring them out or whatever the case is. You're gonna if you extend the season, even if it's less minutes during one game, if you extend the season where they're playing serious football, it's almost like a pitcher. So I pitched, and you hear baseball announcers talk about this shit all the time now. It's not just about how many pitches you throw or how many innings you go. It's about the stress in each one of those innings. So maybe I throw a 20 pitch inning, but it's not that big a deal. Like, I was just kind of wild in the strike zone, but I was getting people out, maybe walked the guy, but it was pretty much 1, 2, 3. But if you have an inning in the middle of your game, in the third, fourth, fifth inning, where you have to, like, bear down and mentally focus more, and it's stressful, that's what, and this is statistically proven. You can go read Like Bill James has a great piece on this that he wrote back in the fucking 70s, and nobody paid attention to him, obviously, until Billy Beane. But those stressful points, mm-hmm. that's what fucking wears you down in yeah. the game. And I think it happens like that over the course of a season as well. It's not just about it's not just about how many minutes you play or even how many games you play. It's about how much stress your body is under during those things, because all that stress creates lactic acid in your body that wasn't there before, the same stuff that your body has to fight off to stay athletic. It's the same goddamn shit, right? Yep. And melatonin and serotonin are involved in that. Body chemistry plays a huge role in sports. And when you extend a season like that, it adds, even if it's less minutes, it adds more stress to the player.
Correct.
That's, I mean, that's a long-winded explanation, but I don't think it's a good idea.
I would, you know, look, we all want more football. We would love to see it. 18 is a lot of fucking games, though. And I would like to see them eliminate two preseason games, still keep the 16, and I think you're same. Fine with that, but get like, rid of the two preseason games.
A fuck about preseason football. Nobody watches that shit.
I don't. I mean, I'll put it on just because it sounds fun, you know?
I think you should have one preseason game.
That's it.
Because really, if you think about it.
Maybe two, only because you got to find out those last guys that are making the roster.
Yeah, maybe two. But what do they play, four now or six?
Four, yeah. Four? They play four. Two more questions here. Curious Nathan Franklin. Curious what you thought about the Tyler Skaggs situation. Going to be honest, man.
I still don't know what the fuck happened.
I don't know what happened. There is still no autopsy report, and they say we're not going to get it until October. And I say we. I guess I'm treating ourselves like the media now. But yeah. They say we're not going to get it till October. However, that game where they threw the no-hitter the other night and they were wearing his jerseys and Mike Trout crushed that homer.
Yeah, it was emotional.
That's one of the greatest moments I've ever seen in sports. And I think next year's ESPY, you can already go ahead and lock up best performance for that.
Yep.
For a team to come together and throw a no-hitter, and his mom came out and threw the opening pitch. I mean,
that's crazy.
That, but watching.
I wonder if there are any, and if you guys are, if there's any EMTs or any medical professionals out there, go into the Facebook group and respond to this. But what could take them several months to figure out what happened?
An aneurysm, maybe? I don't know.
They would know that immediately.
That's what
they
I
They would
thought.
Cut his brain in half and see the fucking blood vessels are fucked up or whatever. Yeah. Like, you would know. I don't know what kind of injury could happen that you don't know for months.
I or know they're waiting, just waiting for a toxicology for the, report. I look.
Yeah, but that shit doesn't take that long. He's fucking famous and rich, dude.
I know. It's
Shit.
This is still unbelievably
curious.
Do you
think they're trying to wait until the fucking season is over? Because it's something shocking.
Yes,
that's where my brain goes.
Because they said October 3rd, you're not going to get these results till October 3rd, and it's like, look, we already know the Angels aren't making it to the postseason. No. So, I don't know what happened, but I love the way that they played and the way that they rallied around them, and that was one of the most amazing games I've ever seen in my entire life, and performances all the way around by the Angels. Man, that chills all the way around for that. last question, Dustin Fugate, or Fugate. Either way, I like both of those. Fugate. Did y'all give predictions on the Open Championship for the British Open? I'm actually going with Brooks Koepka. That's my dude.
He's 10 to 1, I think.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy right now is favored to win.
He's 8.5 to 1, so he's plus 850. Yep. Brooks Koepka is plus 1,000. Dustin Johnson and John Rahm are 1,600. Tiger is 1,500, if you want to lay that bet in. I don't think Tiger is going to win this one.
No, he's not. He doesn't have this type of game anymore at this stage of his career. I'd say, look, if you're going to throw money on an underdog in this, I'd go Justin Rose.
Yeah.
I think Justin Rose is a really great
pick. And that's
pick.
A 20 to 1, man. You put, you know, $100 down, you're going to get some money out of that. That's $2,000.
If you roll into my book, you do, you know, throw a hundo on Justin Rose. That's my long shot pick. Yep. But if I'm going to go with who I actually think is going to win, I think it's Brooks Koepka.
I think it's either him or McIlroy, just because he's going home.
Yeah.
He's comfortable playing out there.
We'll see. I love watching it, man. It's fun, and God, we're so close to football season starting.
Yep, a couple of weeks.
Right there, brother. We're dancing with danger. We're 5 weeks out from the opening of the college football season. Don't forget to sign up on Facebook, Drinkin' Bros Sports, and follow us there, and subscribe on YouTube. We're going to try to start doing this, you know, every Tuesday is going live with a sports show on video and then answering your questions afterwards. Yep. 'Cause this is a blast, man. And we love fucking hanging out with you guys. We appreciate you listening. Again, subscribe on YouTube and sign up for Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. For D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show. Chop on. Go Braves.
Oh, man. Don't you see you made it homer right there? That's fine.
A couple people got me homer.